This is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the program Countrywide Tonight, we bring you an interview with the Minister of State for Civil Aviation, Jayant Sinha. The interviewer is Diksha Saxena, AIR correspondent.
The civil aviation sector has seen a major push in the last 4.5 years, and several initiatives were taken by the government to boost the sector. As we know, civil aviation is a sector which has a lot of interrelated sectors to it. So if the overall economic growth of the country is concerned and related, it is all because of the civil aviation sector, because the better the connectivity, the better economy of the country. Today we have with us MOS Civil Aviation, Jayant Sinha, to talk about the ever-growing aviation sector of the country. To begin with, Mr. Minister, Udaan is the most ambitious and effective scheme of the government. Since its launch in April 2017, till date, how successful has the initiative been?
Udaan has been outstandingly successful. It is a program that is totally unique globally as well, because with just clever policy design and limited funding from the government, we have been able to set up 25 new airports completely, which were unserved. Airports like Bikaner, Kanpur, Pathankot, Ludhiana, airports such as Tejpur, Leelabari. So airports around the country which were lying fallow, which were not being utilized, have been activated through Udaan. And it's not only airports. What we have been able to do with Udaan through Udaan Round 2 and Udaan Round 3 is also to get helipads, water drones, that is with seaplanes, as well as international and tourist flights started. So through Udaan Round 1, Udaan Round 2 and Udaan Round 3, we have massively expanded the aviation network in India with new airports coming in, new helipads coming in, new tourist destinations coming in, and cities like Guwahati being connected to cities like Dhaka and Bangkok as well. So Udaan has been uniquely successful around the world. People are looking at this as a tremendous policy success, because as I said earlier, with limited spending from government, but just by clever policy design, we vastly expanded India's aviation network. And as a result of that, it is now possible to fly on city pairs that nobody could have even ever imagined. So now people are flying from Bikaner, for example, to Jaipur. People are flying from Delhi to Khajuraho and so on. So this has made life tremendously better for many, many people that have to travel and go to different parts of India.
Sir, as you already mentioned, so the Udaan Phase 1, Phase 2 and now Phase 3. Phase 2 connected almost 109 locations, and now in Phase 3, which was recently announced by the Honorable Aviation Minister. So now you have focus on tourism. So my question is, how financially viable is it? And don't you feel that it should only be in the tourist season, or it should be throughout the year?
It's entirely viable. So far, we have spent for Udaan no more than about 500 crores. Going forward, we expect that with all of the destinations for Udaan Round 3 included, we will be spending 1,500 crores a year in subsidies for flight tickets. Of course, we are also building out the airports and the helipads and the water drones that will be required for Udaan 3, but those are one-time investments in building up India's infrastructure. The ongoing subsidy that we will be providing is going to be about 1,500 crores a year to be able to open up all of these different destinations. Now, the value of getting this connectivity is that it will dramatically spark off tourism. For example, the flights to Vijayanagar, which lead then to Hampi, are really opening up Hampi, which is one of the world's great tourism destinations, to people from around the world. They can get there very easily from Bangalore, from Hyderabad. So tourism is getting a force multiplier through this connectivity. Cargo, which is fruits and vegetables from destinations that are difficult to reach, are now being exported around the world and, of course, in India. And take Pakyong in Sikkim as an example. Things that we would never have imagined, like orchids from Sikkim, which are among the most beautiful in the world, are now coming to Calcutta and from there to Delhi for weddings and other important occasions. So for the 1,500 crores or so a year that we are spending, the economic benefits that we are getting are tremendous. And we think the multiplier effect on tourism, on transport, cargo, for business, for commerce is going to be immense.
In fact, now this brings me to my another question. And Udaan is an all-inclusive scheme, so it has benefits for subsidies for the airlines as well. So as I was going through, the airlines which register under Udaan, they are levied from parking fees and landing fees. So how many airlines have shown expressed interest in the scheme, and how is it growing?
The scheme is tremendously attractive for airlines. Airlines benefit in multiple ways. First of all, taxes for aviation turbine fuel and so on have been reduced down to 1%. Secondly, parking charges, navigation and landing charges have also been reduced to zero. Then in addition to that, we are providing subsidies which they can bid for to run those routes, and they are benefiting from those subsidies as well. And then finally, each airline is getting an exclusive for 3 years to operate that route. So these economic incentives that we have provided, the clever policy design that we have put in, has made it economically very attractive for the airlines to bid for these routes and take over and operate these routes. Now, whether these routes are routes like Kanpur to Delhi, which are large, planes that are flying, whether it's smaller planes like turboprops that are flying, or even when we get to the 9-seaters and 18-seaters, we have worked out the schedule in such a way, the subsidy scheme, so that all types of aircraft are going to be able to operate profitably and economically on these routes. So this policy design that has made it so attractive for the airlines. And as a result of that, we've had tremendous participation from all of the airlines in India for the Udaan routes. And you will be astonished to know that both IndiGo and SpiceJet have ordered 50 turboprops each. SpiceJet has ordered 50 Q400s from Bombardier, and IndiGo has ordered 50 ATRs from Airbus so that they can operate turbo propeller planes on some of these regional routes and be able to transport 70-80 people economically. So not only has Udaan been very attractive for the airlines have put their money where their mouth is and have put in orders for thousands of crores to buy smaller planes to operate on these routes. And this tells you how successful Udaan has been and how attractive it is for the airlines. And which is why people around the world are looking at this program and saying they want to emulate it as well, so that far-flung airports can be connected to the major commercial hubs in the country.
So any good news for the international flyers as well? I mean, can we see Udaan in the international sector?
We have seen Udaan in the international sector. So as I said, government of Assam has provided subsidies to be able to link Guwahati to Dhaka and to Bangkok as well. And any state government that provides incentives, we are happy to work with them to be able to attract flights to those routes. And the idea here is not to provide a subsidy for well-off travelers. The idea here is to establish strong commercial linkages so that cities are on the global map and business travelers and tourists can come to those locations and be able to create jobs and commerce in those particular destinations, like in this case, Guwahati.
So now something very critical and crucial for you as well as a ministry. How do you plan to revive the strategic sale of Air India, and what are the plans to bring back the fortune to the national carrier?
Air India is already operating very efficiently now. In the last 4 years or so, Air India has gone through a very impressive turnaround. And at an operating level today, its benchmarks are equal to those of its private sector competitors. The challenge for Air India is the very large debt that it has. And the reason why it's running into losses is because it has to service this huge debt burden that it has right now. So we have created an SPV. We've taken 29,000 crores of debt from Air India, put it into the SPV. Air India's debt has now come down to about 25,000 crores or so, and we are hoping that it will be possible for Air India to service this debt. As far as the disinvestment of Air India is concerned, we put up a very fair and balanced offer for sale for Air India. Unfortunately, the timing was not attractive for bidders because that was the time when oil prices had gone up, India's currency had weakened, interest rates had gone up, and as a result, bidders were reluctant to put in a bid for a large airline such as Air India. We are committed to the disinvestment of Air India, and when industry conditions improve, we shall revisit the disinvestment decision.
Sir, are there any plans to sell off the subsidiaries of Air India?
Yes, there is a plan to sell off the subsidiaries, and that process is in fact underway.
Sir, the other thing is, for the benefit of our listeners, could you please brief a little about the new regulation in place for flying of drones, because you were heading that committee?
Yes, we have put in place in India some of the most progressive and forward-looking regulations for drones. Our Drone 1.0 regulations are out, and they have been appreciated by players in the drone ecosystem from around the world. And India is seen very much at being at the forefront of establishing these drone regulations. So that has happened through the Drone 1.0 regulations. Now, in addition to that, we have launched the Digital Sky platform that will enable us to track drones in the sky. And we have established a roadmap for the Drone 2.0 regulations. With the Drone 2.0 regulations, and we are actively cooperating with countries like Japan and Israel and the US on that, the Drone 2.0 regulations will very clearly establish India as the world leader in regulating the drone ecosystem.
So there are reports that Indian airspace could soon have in-flight connectivity or internet can be used while traveling in the flights. By when can Indian passengers derive benefit of this?
So that has been allowed now, and that is now available for both telecom service providers as well as airlines to be able to put on their airplanes. They have to apply for a license from the telecom authority, and then once they get the license, they can provide those services.
So the airports in Delhi as well as in Mumbai, both the airports witnessed a very heavy traffic, and the decongestion of both the airports were on your agenda. So the Jewar Airport, the foundation stone, will it be laid in coming days?
We are doing a tremendous amount to expand capacity in both Delhi and Mumbai. As far as Delhi is concerned, the Delhi airport itself is dramatically increasing capacity with a fourth runway and two new terminals. When all of that is done in the next 2 or 3 years, Delhi will be among the 5 or 6 largest airports in the world. So that's Indira Gandhi International Airport. But in addition to that, we are getting Hindon activated very soon. Within a few weeks, Hindon will be available for commercial flights and will be used, I think, extensively for regional flights. And then, of course, we are going to be establishing another very large-scale, world-class airport in Jewar in Western UP, and that process is very much underway, and we expect that also to be done within 3 to 4 years. So that is Delhi. As far as Mumbai is concerned, Mumbai is our biggest bottleneck as far as our aviation network is concerned right now, because Mumbai airport has only one runway. It's operating at peak efficiency. Mumbai is among the most efficient, if not the most efficient airport in the world right now in terms of flight movements per hour, flight movements per day, but it is saturated right now. And so our effort is to get Navi Mumbai built as quickly as possible. And that also we think will happen in the next 2 or 3 years, because the work there is underway very, very quickly. And once that happens, then Navi Mumbai itself will become another very large-scale, world-class airport. The Trans-Harbour Link will link it to Mumbai. But it will also be an airport that will be the size of what Dubai is right now, for instance, about 80 to 100 million passengers.
Government plans to provide penal powers to DGCA. So my question is, how is it going to boost the efficiency and the overall authority of DGCA?
DGCA today has penalty provisions that are very black and white. And as a result of that, it is hesitant to use those very black and white powers. And so we are not able to penalize people the way we would like to. With the penalty powers that we intend DGCA to have, DGCA will be able to levy financial penalties on players in the ecosystem that are not holding up the standards that they should be, and that will improve its ability to regulate and improve all of the standards in the aviation ecosystem.
Sir, nothing concludes without talking about Northeast, because your government has given a tremendous boost to Northeast, and the recent was Paekyong Airport. So any other project in pipeline for Northeast?
There are a huge number of projects in the Northeast. We've connected Northeast in a way that is, I think, absolutely wonderful. Obviously, Paekyong in Sikkim was our 100th airport. It's a spectacular, beautiful airport and engineering marvel. So that is a great boon to the people of the Northeast. The Honorable Prime Minister just laid the foundation stone for Holongi Airport near Itanagar in Arunachal Pradesh. So Arunachal Pradesh is getting its airport. We've opened up Shillong. We've grown Guwahati in a very dramatic way. Guwahati is getting a new terminal as well. And we have opened up Silchar. We've opened up Jorhat. We've opened up all the other various capitals of the Northeast, whether it's Imphal, Aizwal, Agartala, all of them. We have added a tremendous number of flights. And I think what is very, very important for the people of the Northeast is now that they're connected to Guwahati, in almost all cases, Calcutta and Delhi, it's easy for them to integrate with not just the country, but with the world. And so we've brought the Northeast all this connectivity, which is really transforming life, business and tourism there.
So before we conclude, your comments on women in aviation, because Indian women are the maximum in the aviation sector.
India has been a leader, including women, in all roles as far as aviation is concerned. As a percentage, we have the most number of women pilots in the world, which is a matter of great pride for us. And of course, we have many women in important executive roles in the airlines and in the airports also. And so with the fantastic growth that we're seeing in the aviation sector, the opportunities for young men and women who have the skills and the talent to flourish in this aviation sector, we think that this is going to be one where people are going to find very good and gainful employment in the future as well.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you very much for having me.
You are listening to an interview with the Minister of State for Civil Aviation, Jayant Sinha. The interviewer was Diksha Saxena, AIR correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnstalks@gmail.com. Please stand by for our next program, Surkhiyon Mein, in a short while from now.